Yeah, you watch any college football?
Yeah, man, I've been watching pretty much everything I could. I watched Bama, Miami, Wisconsin, Penn State. I went to the South Carolina game. So your boy is not looking too good on offense.
Hey man, chill out. We won.
Oh no, not your VTech boys.
Oh, Clemson. Oh yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, your VTech boys look good.
Not on offense, but the defense looked legit.
Clemson, I mean, it's George. I think it's George's year, don't get me wrong. But Clemson, man, 7 points or however many y'all scored.
3 points, yeah. Wait, you
Three.
think it's Georgia? You think Georgia gonna win the SEC?
100%, man. It's theirs to lose. Like, it's that front seven is, or like, on both sides of the ball, the offensive and defensive line is just different this year. And LSU sucks, so you ain't got to worry about them.
Yeah.
You got, obviously, it's Bama, you know what I mean? So, like, that's going to be a great game. But I think Georgia's defense is going to take a young Bryce Young to a different level.
Man, Bryce Young looked impressive, especially for being a freshman. I definitely didn't see the difference. He looks better than Tua and Mac did already.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was watching with Dalton, and Dalton coming from his quarterback stance, he's like, he had never seen someone release the ball that fast. And like, people talk about release, like from bringing the ball up and throwing it. No, he was talking about like just out the hand. Like, he
Yeah.
never seen someone get the ball out that quick. And watching it, I didn't either.
Footwork was immaculate too for a freshman, you know what I'm saying? Like step and you're playing, a ranked team to start the year. He's not, starting against cupcakes. The other, four-star, five-star athletes that he's going against, and albeit they handled them, that pocket, they were getting pressure in the pocket. That man was just moving around the pocket like prime Drew Brees. That shit was crazy.
Yeah, it was more impressive because he had so many opportunities where a young quarterback would tuck and run, and
Yeah.
he was waiting as long as he could to make a play downfield before running.
And he kept making the right play too. I was, for me, I'm impressed. I was really.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, bro. That's encouraging. I like to see that, man. That's gonna be a good ass matchup in the SEC. I don't think they play each other this year, do they? That it just be in the championship game, right?
Yeah, it would just be in the championship. I mean, the only other team that I think would stand a chance if it got to playoffs would be my dogs at Coastal Carolina, let me tell you.
Tell them make that jump, man. They need to get up into a P5 conference. Big 12 is accepting people.
They need to just take Kansas, and them need to flip-flop. They played Friday. The winner of that, they should flip-flop.
Oh yeah, that's good. They beat Kansas last year too.
Yeah, that's what it should be. It should be the game to get into a P5.
Turn it up, man. Well, how'd your boys at Syracuse look? I know they won big, but they played one of the cupcake
Yeah,
game.
well, I mean, they were the underdog by 2.5 points against Ohio. That's how bad everyone thinks Syracuse is going to be this year.
Yeah,
And
y'all won like 45 to like something, didn't y'all?
yeah, it was a little lower than that. I think it was like 20 to something, but or maybe low 30 something. But like, Syracuse is not going to be good. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to be good, but they'll be one of those teams that'll beat someone they shouldn't and ruin somebody's season, and that's about it.
It seems like that's all Syracuse and Pitt do.
Yeah,
They don't actually
100%.
haven't actually competed. Oh, yeah, it was 29-9. It's like they don't actually compete for the championship, for the ACC championship, but they will fuck up somebody's season.
Yeah, bro. That's all they're good for.
Welcome to episode 79 of the Pickup Podcast. Your boy Marcus here, joined by guest Chris Denny. Y'all know him. He's back. Gonna get into some NFL game picks, talk about some of the matchups and a little bit of some of the season predictions going on for week one of the NFL season. So we'll be right back. Stick with us.
Yes, sir.
All right, my boys. So this is being recorded on Thursday afternoon. It's around 1:30 right now. So
mm-hmm.
got tonight, opening game of week one, Cowboys, Bucks, you know, the good old banner game. But, you know, I feel like this is one of those games where I almost considered it for the pool. I should mention that first. So we're doing a pool this year, weekly pool. You don't have to participate every week, but any week you do participate, you know, $5. I'm sending out Google Forms, pick your teams, scores, all that stuff. It's going to a spreadsheet, so it's all there. You can see fairly. But, yeah. That being said, you can get into some it's one of those that I thought for the game of the week almost. It's just that good. I think Cowboys and Buccaneers. I mean, you got high power offenses on both sides. Defense is clearly there for the Bucs. The Cowboys defense is kind of a question mark, but they have high upside on the potential. What do you like about this matchup?
Yeah, man. I mean, being back down here in Tampa now, you know, you got to obviously – you got to tip your cap to them last year, and then you think they returned everyone, right, on both sides of the ball. So
literally,
I'm taking Tampa to win. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, regardless of, you know, the Buccaneers defense. I think the Cowboys offense is going to come out and put up some points early. I wouldn't doubt if it's a very close game at halftime, but I think you're going to see the Bucs pull away in a low 40s to high 20s type of game, like a 41-28. Tampa to pull it out.
Yeah, for sure. That's right along the lines of what I'm going with. I think Tampa is going to – I think it might even be to the point where they get caught off guard and it might be losing at half. So it might be like 20-17 Cowboys at halftime.
Yeah.
This might be the rebound year that we've been looking for the past, you know, 2 years from Zeke Elliott. I think this is actually going to be the year the entire offense is held together. They got, obviously, CeeDee Lamb's going to his second year. He's going to, I think, take that next step and be a true wide receiver one. Let Amari Cooper be the elite wide receiver two that he should be, because I don't really think he's a wide receiver one. And then Gallup is there, you know. They got that, you know, line back healthy, Dak's back healthy. You know, the whole offense obviously can be a top 4 or 5 offense, you know, when they're all clicking. And I think Zeke, he's at that point in his career where he can extend it by being in a good passing offense, let the pass open up and run instead of vice versa like they used to. So,
and I think one thing to pay attention to is, I'm not sure if anything's come out just yet, but Zach Martin, obviously everyone knows, you know, all pro guard.
Yeah.
Got COVID. And they were trying to say there was a chance he could play tonight. I don't think he will be, but I think a lot of people are going to, were saying that it's dependent on for Zeke's run game and Dak's pocket early, because Buccaneers front seven ain't nothing to play with. So that'll be a good thing to, or something to watch develop. But again, I just think the Bucs are going to end up pulling away with this game late. But I, like you said, I think it's going to stay close early.
Definitely is a working game, because, you know, sometimes they'll be giving us bullshit games on Thursday night, but they usually do pretty well in that opening game of the season for the banner games, you know, doing the ring ceremony and all that shit, you know. Well, not rings, but the banner ceremony.
Right.
So, I'm liking that one. All right, so we both got the Bucks. Going on to the most important game of week one, we got the Jets at the Panthers. what do you like about this matchup, man? Obviously, this is the Sam Darnold revenge game.
Yeah, man.
The Christian return game.
Man, I think you just nailed it on the head, right? Most important for about nobody. So I think the Panthers win with ease. I think, you know, that -4 spread, I know we're not going to get too much into betting lines, but it's a little disrespectful. At the end of the day, it's the Jets. And I watch Coastal, you know, really little boy Zach Wilson in college. I'm not expecting anything different in the NFL. Tough debut for Zach Wilson on the way. Sam Darnold goes for 320 and 3 touchdowns, and I think Panthers win easily.
320 and 3 touchdowns. The bold prediction of the pod right there. I'm thinking more along the lines of, we're riding McCaffrey. McCaffrey's going to get spammed probably 9 or 10, you know, receptions out the backfield, also with an additional 19 to 22 carries. I think he's going to touch the ball 30 times.
Like, well, hear me out, though. You're right. I mean, you throw three screens at the 20-yard line and McCaffrey, and he breaks them. Darnold looks great on paper.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I think this is also going to be a big game for Terrace Marshall Jr. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, obviously, are going to get all the targets. They're going to get all the, you know, the film breakdown for what they did last year, what they like to do. DJ, they kind of flipped the script on him last year. DJ Moore was kind of the deep threat, and Robbie Anderson was your underneath possession guy, which was kind of the, you know, opposite tail of the tape going back to before from when Robbie Anderson was with the Jets and DJ Moore was, you know, 2018, 2019. So I think you might see Terrace Marshall come in. You kind of don't know what they're going to do. He just kind of be, you know, gadget player. Maybe not gadget player, not like a Curtis Samuel, but, you know, he's going to come in, run the slot. You know, he's going to go split out wide. You know, you're probably going to have DJ Moore kind of in some of those gadget plays like he used to do, the reverses and stuff like that. So it's very interesting to see what they can do. There's a lot of possibilities, a lot of upside. But it's all going to come back to, you know, I think how established we get in McCaffrey. Because I'm not going to lie, I don't have any faith in the Jets at all. So I have no concern about what the Jets can do to win. It's really about what the Panthers can do to lose the game.
Right. And I think if you're a Panthers fan, you couldn't ask for a better week one matchup to see what your identity is going to be this year. And you know, for good or for bad, you're going to find out week one right away.
Yep. And so moving on, we're going to go to your boys next, Eagles at the Falcons. Who do you like in this one, man? Oh, actually, I'm gonna preface this real quick. I'm taking the Eagles, but I'm not taking the Eagles because I like them to win. I'm taking the Eagles because I have zero respect for the Falcons and what they're doing right now. They've absolutely gutted their defense. Their offense is, you know, they made the choice between keeping Ridley engaged versus, you know, keeping Julio and dragging him down through the suit. And I respect that, actually. Their running back situation is abysmal. I just don't see how they can keep Eagles. The Eagles are at least trying. They're trying.
Look, man, I respect the Eagles pick, first and foremost, because I think everyone knows I'm a Birds fan. Now, Vegas has Atlanta at -3, which I think is only because of home field, but that means they had him out of pick-ems before that, which is still disrespectful. Atlanta might be the worst team in the NFL this year.
Honestly.
Maybe three wins. Now, if one of those comes from the Eagles, don't get me wrong, I won't be too surprised. However, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Philly's going to go down to Atlanta, kick the shit out of them, if we're being honest with you. I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a field day. I think Miles Sanders is going to run all over them. I think, you know, again, trying to stay away from betting, it's hard for me, I know. That is a parlay builder. A +3 or an Eagles money line right there is a parlay builder. There's disrespect for some reason. I don't get it. Atlanta's terrible. Eagles are picked last in their division. I still don't get that either. However, I think they get out of week one with a pretty convincing win.
I like that pick right there. And are you just staying away from betting in general or just on this podcast? We can talk betting if you want. I mean, I'm not a betting man, but you can get your betting stuff off if you need.
Oh, man. I more just from the podcast, you know, I'm still betting every single hour that I can. You know what I mean? So Eagles money line +140, I think, only because of home field. I think you got to take advantage of that. That's Vegas not knowing what to do with these two teams. And that's one where I think the Eagles really run away with it. And I don't think the Falcons put up much at all. So maybe an under to look at as well, like a 28-3 type of game.
Turn me up, man. 28-3, good God. Yeah. Over under 48.5, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So next up, you know, got Eagles and Bills. Or not you, Steelers and Bills. This is probably one of the better matchups of week one. Also a candidate that I had for game of the week for the pool. I think I'm going to go with the Bills. And obviously the Bills had the momentum coming off last season. We still have the question mark about Big Ben and what he actually can do with his health. It still kind of got that running back by committee going. Defense for the Steelers is definitely their, you know, high point, but it's also going to be, a shootout kind of thing. And I don't know if they can keep up with the Bills because, I mean, the Bills offense, you know, when they're rolling, they got two running backs that can both give you about 600 yards on the ground and another 300 in the air. You know, Josh Allen's going to spread the ball around. He's going to go for probably another 4,300-yard season, probably another 30 or so touchdowns. Stephon Diggs is still the top three receiver in the league. All of that, it's going to be a lot for the Steelers to prepare for. Like I said, I still think it's going to be a high-scoring game. This is one where, if we're going to talk betting, I'd probably take the over. 48.5 for this game, too. I'd definitely probably take the over on this one. And I like Buffalo to win it. Probably a close game. I wouldn't say it's going to be anything crazy.
Yeah. No, I hear you on the close game because Vegas has it at 6.5 Buffalo. I'd stay away from that. If anything, I'm looking at Steelers plus 6.5. However, I do think Buffalo wins the game. I think it's going to be close. I am going to say, though, I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring matchup. I guess that's your definition of high-scoring. So with the spread, it's at 49, so you're looking at like a 27-23 ball. I see more of Bills. I see more of the Bills and the Steelers kind of in a gridiron game to where it's a lot of good defense being played. Big Ben's not going to be able to move the ball. I don't think that throw the ball that well this year. Bills have a good defense. Steelers got a good defense. Bills aren't going to be able to run, so they're going to rely on the pass. So if Josh Allen lights it up, good for him. But I'm taking the Bills in a close one, and I think it's going to be more of a low-scoring affair.
All right. I can respect it. In my head, I had kind of like 31-28 kind of thing going on, but I can see where you're going with that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, man, you could be right. I don't have trust in the Steelers' offense like it's three, four years ago, and I don't see the Bills being – they're going to be one-dimensional all day. I mean, Singletary and Zach Moss aren't special running the ball. I mean, if Josh Allen throws darts all day to Beasley and Diggs, and you know, then you know, so be it. But I think that front five, Pittsburgh's really going to get to Josh Allen as well. So I see something low, but I see the Bills squeaking it out.
Yeah, I guess – what I see in the Steelers is, I mean, their weapons as far as on the outside, the run game is going to be kind of shoddy. Obviously, there's no James Conner this year. Still running back by command, you're going to have McFarlane, going to have Snell. But it's going to be Deontay Johnson. That was a real surprise that, you know, popped out last year. Juju's still there. Chase Claypool was a rookie last year, popped off well, especially in the red zone. And, I mean, I think that's going to really put strain on the Bills secondary, which right now is not that they're weak, but – you know, Tre'Davious White is kind of their only, press corner. And I think that, you know, Juju eats against zone. You know what I'm saying? So they play a lot of zone. I think you're going to see a lot of Juju. You see man, you got Deontay Johnson's getting open in man and from the slot, honestly. And Chase Claypool, you know, he's, like I said, red zone god, especially in fantasy.
yeah.
Which I hadn't even gotten to, you know, the fantasy football talk. Because I know me – drafting this year, Steelers receivers was my toughest. I got one of those three in every draft that I've done, but it's kind of been a tough call to see which one is going to, you know, do what, because they all have, you know, 12 to 15 points a week potential. You never know.
Yeah, I hear you. I stayed away from all three of them for that reason. You know, it's tough enough in fantasy to pick a receiver you think it's going to be the number one or number two on that football team. To pick out of three solid, pretty close receivers, I would say, in terms of production, I tried to stay away from all three.
I will say Ben will pick his favorite, though. Last year they had who they had last year? It was Ben and Rudolph, right?
What? Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things. He'll pick a favorite, I think. It won't be so spread out. He'll find one. I think Juju might be the one that he trusts the most, but again, even looking at the reception spread, it was mad close last year. I think one of them will end up breaking away. Just trying to see which one.
Yeah, but yeah, hey man, we both got the Bills here. I think they squeeze it out, but I would not be surprised if that game is the one that separates all the picks.
Yeah. Next up, got the Vikings and the Bengals. I really respect what the Bengals have done over the last 2 years, except for not really doing anything with that offensive line, but I like everything else that they've done. They've given Joe Burrow weapons. The defense is definitely improved on paper. I think within the next 2 years, the Bengals will be a team to kind of challenge in the AFC North. But not today. Not this week. I'm going with the Vikings. Dalvin Cook is still who he is. Thielen and Jefferson, I think, are going to run over that defense, even though that defense is definitely, I said, improved. They got some youth, especially in the secondary. Jesse Bates is a fucking stud, but I don't think it's just a little too much too early right now. They're still about a year away, I think. So I'm taking – and if we're going to talk over-under, I probably will take the under, 47.5.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think, man, there's always those two upsets, right, every single week. And you're just like, how the hell did that happen? And you look at a game like this, and it's at Cincinnati – you know, Burrow's back, blah, blah, blah. I mean, even though Jamar Chase is a dumpster fire right now, and you hope you know, there's going to be that game, and you're like, what happened? And I wouldn't doubt it if this is going to be one of them. But again, I'm going to go with Minnesota. I'm staying away in every sort of way that my money on this specific game would be on. I'm not taking the over-under. I'm not taking the spread. If I was to take anything, it would be the under, like you said. I think it's going to be a terrible game. and I'm not looking forward to Tuesday morning or Monday or Sunday afternoon and seeing that the Bengals beat the Vikings. I'm not, but I'm going to take Minnesota and deal with it on Sunday.
All right. And moving on from that, we got the 49ers at the Lions. This is actually a game that I'm really interested in just because obviously 49ers finished, you know, not great last season, and they ended up with a top 10 pick, get Trey Lance, right? So We got Garoppolo, we got Lance. You know, the Lions are debuting what they're going to look like with Goff. They still got they got Jamal Williams and running backs, and they got two solid running backs. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like when I'm looking at the offensive matchups, it's there, you know what I'm saying? Because the 49ers have every position covered. They got like 5,000 running backs. They got three receivers who all do the same fucking thing. They got probably the second best tight end. Their defense is still their defense. I like the 49ers in this one, and I actually, if we're going to talk betting, I'm probably going to take them to cover.
Man, that's a big cover. 7.5. And I'm going to take the 49ers to win the game, and I hate going against what you're saying, but the Lions plus 7.5 might cover, and they might win too. And I think it will be just too much of a perfect storyline of when is Trey Lance going to start. And with a week one loss, that starts it all. Right? So
in the preseason, I mean, better than I expected. He was able to showcase his arm on outside the number of throws more than he did at North Dakota State. I mean, because North Dakota, he was looking kind of like I don't say this because he's on the 49ers, but he honestly thought he was kind of like a Diet Kaepernick, right?
okay.
I mean, that's the way that I saw him. He's got a strong arm, throws a fastball. He's shown some touch, you know, here and there, but I mean, especially the way he's, you know, runs, especially when he gets out in stride. Like, I was like, I haven't seen a quarterback, you know, a tall, like, lanky, you know, not lanky, but, you know, long leg quarterback, you know, running as fast as he does since, like, Kaepernick.
I hear you.
He can go.
I hear you. I think the Lions keep it close. I think the 49ers win. I just see a perfect storm though for the whole, okay, this is just another reason why you should be in, you know what I mean? Just in San Francisco. And I think the only reason the Lions don't win the game is because they're not going to be able to put up enough points, but I don't think the 49ers are going to do anything crazy on offense either. Like you said, they got three wide receivers that do the exact same thing. Not a great guy at the helm. So, I mean, I'm taking the under of this game, and I'm going to take the 49ers to win, but betting wise, I'm taking Detroit plus 7.5.
Turn me up then, man. So the next one, this is one that I dubbed our game of the week. Cardinals This is the game of the week that I have.
Okay.
For the pool. So, for those that don't know, the game of the week is the tiebreaker. And you don't just pick the game. You pick the game plus the score. Person that picks closest to the score in a tiebreaker, you know, incidents, you know, is who wins the week and gets the money. And if you pick the same score, then I guess you'll just split the money or whatever. It's really like, if it's really that deep.
Right.
But, yeah, so we got Cardinals at the Titans. I'm really, really high on the Cardinals.
Okay.
Cliff Kingsbury's got to be in the hot seat if this doesn't work out this year. Because
yep.
There's no more excuses. You got your quarterback. You got your big name receivers. You got your defender, you know, your defense. You got, you know, stars at every level. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Buda Baker's a fucking stud.
I think you got J.J. Watt.
League this year.
I hear you. I think it's the best game of the week. It could not have been a better game that you picked the week. You know, the other game of the week I would have seen is Chiefs-Browns. But I think that, like you said, Cliff Kingsbury's on the hot seat. And it sucks because he's a likable guy. You know, you like watching him coach. You like he's young. He's you know, enthusiastic. He's got a young quarterback as well. You know, it complements his offense. And you think that they're going to, you know, blow teams out of the water with their offense. And you go up against a pretty tough Titans defense. You know, not as good as we're accustomed to, but a decent Titans defense. I think this game's going to be a shootout. I think the over gets demolished. Just based on the Titans having to hang on and with big plays and weapons. Oh my God, you got Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, Julio Jones, and you know, they're going to put up points regardless, no matter what defense you're going up against. Great, you know, matchup. I think on both sides of the ball, I think the spread's correct at Tennessee -3. I'm going to pick Tennessee to win, but I think it's going to be a damn good game and high scoring as well.
So this is one that I'm going to pick as an upset. I'm going to pick the Cardinals. Taking this game.
It's a good pick, man. It's going to be a good one.
And I'm actually going to go a little bit with the defenses. I feel like because these are such high-octane offenses, and you're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. We're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry might get 30 carries this game, I feel like. Because the Cardinals front seven is definitely – that's definitely the matchup mismatch here. It's the Cardinals front seven versus the – front offensive line of the Titans. So we're going to see a lot of that, and I think we're going to see a lot of Kyler Murray making plays downfield because they're going to end up, you know, trying to keep the ball out of Derrick Henry's hands. It's going to be holding the ball. It's going to be running. But, I mean, they don't really have too much of a run game, so I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, dink and dunk plays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I kind
of work the ball up the field, and I think it's going to come down to, you know, if they do get a few stops, you're going to see Tannehill start to force some things. And I feel like Cardinals defense is good enough to force him into a few, couple of turns. I think it's going to come down to whoever turns the ball over the least.
Yeah, this game's on Tannehill. The only way you stop Derrick Henry is you put a couple extra people in the box. And that's facts. No matter how well your defensive line is, right? He's going to break – if he breaks that first line and your safeties are so far back, your linebackers so far back, you're giving up 12 yards carry to him. So if it's going to be on Tannehill because, they're going to let it stack the box, he's got to make one-on-one throws to Julio and A.J. Brown all day. And if he does that, it's going to be a high-scoring shootout. So I have Tennessee. You have Arizona – or you have the Cardinals – I think it's going to be the game of the week, like you said, and it's going to make or break the pool 100%. So, great game of the week there.
Appreciate it, man. I need to pull through, man. well, next game. Hold up, damn, shit. So, we got Seahawks at the Colts. This is a little tougher one for me because I kind of don't know what to expect from the Colts. But I also really know that I don't really expect the Seahawks to be that good this year. The Colts have, I think, more pieces. They're just kind of missing that question mark at quarterback. You know, Carson Wentz is whatever, and I don't really know what they're going to do without him. So,
I mean, who are you taking?
I mean, I'm going with the Seahawks, but I'm not even confident. Because I'm not even confident in what the Seahawks can do anymore.
Yeah, man. I feel like the Seahawks are just turning into that team that's there at the end of the year, but they're not going to be good enough for whatever. I guess it's their defense now. I don't think their offense is going to be all right no matter what.
Early season, Russell Wilson is MVP. Russell Wilson's always MVP the first, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah, damn right.
So,
damn right.
I guess for that reason, I'll take, you know, them right there, but
I'm gonna take Seattle. I can't stand Carson Wentz, and that's probably why. I think he's just such a bum, and he's just a baby back bitch, to be honest with you. I think the whole Carson Wentz experiment in Indianapolis is gonna backfire for them. I know reuniting him with Frank Wright looks good on paper. Your locker room's split. There's already reports, you know, of him being a selfish douche over there in Indianapolis, just like Philly, you know. And if you don't have the locker room and in a year like this of change, where you're probably looking at the team like we're a question mark this year anyway in Indianapolis, you know, and it's all going to kind of ride on his performance. So do I want Carson Wentz to play enough games where that compensatory draft pick turns into a first round? Yes. Do I want him to do well? No. I'm taking the Seahawks, and I think Seahawks will probably win. I think they'll cover the three.
I'm here for the salt, man. Turn it up. All right, this is another one that I actually almost put for game of the week for other reasons, but we got the Chargers at Washington Football Team, and I'm going to take the Washington Football Team, and here is why. So, Justin Herbert, fucking fantastic rookie year. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but a lot of people were down on him. I wasn't. And he proved that my faith in him was right. The weapons that they have out over there, they're legit, and he's using them. The defense should be back healthy. Derwin James is back. Nasir Adderley should be back. You know, everyone up front, Bosa's back. They should be healthy. But I'm liking that Washington Football Team defense to be a top three defense, and I think that they for sure are going to force at least two turnovers and win this game, a low-scoring game. This game's not going to – I don't think the winner – I think it's going to be like a 20-17 type game. Might see a fumble and two picks or something of that nature. It's going to come down to a special teams play or something of that nature. I'm really liking the Washington Football Team. Plus, kind of same thing I was saying about Russell Wilson, you know. Fitzpatrick, first 6 weeks of the season is literally Jesus Christ. They got, you know, Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas broke out last year as a top 10 tight end. And even though Panthers fans were down on him, I actually really like what Scott Turner did as a coordinator. He actually got people involved and stuff, moved the offense around and stuff. I think people just, got caught up in Kyle Allen play and blame Scott Turner for that, and that wasn't his fault. But Scott Turner, I think he's going to do it. Rivera, he's usually a question mark at the start of seasons. But, I mean, with a game like this, I think with the defense as good as it is, defensive game playing should be on point in order to give a little sophomore slump start for Justin Herbert, I think.
Look, man, Washington's picked by a lot of people to win the NFC East. And as much as I want to pick the Chargers to you know, help out the Eagles in the NFC East, I agree. I think Washington's going to be a pretty damn good football team. I think they're going to lead early. I think they're going to be pretty explosive early. It's also dependent on if Eckler plays. I know that he's been battling a hamstring right now, and they don't know if he's 100% or limited for the game or whatnot. But so that's something to monitor. But I think, like you said, Chargers will be up in the third. There will be a pick six. There will be a drop fumble or a dropped kick or punt. There will be something forced by that Washington defense that flips the tide. I think it'll be close. I think Washington wins it like a 23 or a 24-21 game. And Washington pulls it out at the end. I think Chargers might go up a little bit early, but God, just like they were, they cannot finish games, and I don't think anything's changing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So then next up, we got the Jaguars at the Texans. First of all, I hate this game. With like,
what a shit game.
I hate this game, but I do like the Jaguars. And it says Jaguars -3, and I would fucking smash
hammer it. Hammer yeah. -3 Jaguars lock of the week.
They might win by 25.
Yeah, hammer it.
This Trevor Lawrence, James Robinson, you know, I think that's what the whole offense is going to come down to. You know, Trevor Lawrence limited mistakes. Obviously, in college, he had the, you know, the little happy feet and would take off running. I don't think he's going to be able to do that, you know, when he had, you know, in the league. He's, I mean, he can. I'm not saying that he can't, but I don't think he'll be able to do it as often. Those risky throws downfield that he had early in college, he did start to limit especially his last year. So hopefully, you know, he, you know, plays clean game, you know, relies on that, front five to block. James Robinson should have a legit second year. And I think that the Texans get handled with ease. And my boy Tyrod Taylor, as much as I love him, I think he's probably going to throw at least two picks, and he's probably going to give this game away pretty early, and it should be, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered probably by the third quarter.
Agreed. This one's easy. Not much to talk about. This is Tyrod's last year as an NFL quarterback. Texans aren't going to win a football game this year. Texans are the Kansas of college football, whatever the spread is. I'm taking the opposite all year, and this is easy. Easy.
Yes, sir. And there's another game that I wanted to put for game of the week. Browns, Chiefs, you know, CBS primetime, 4 o'clock game should be fucking beautiful. I'm going to take the Chiefs because I am a huge supporter of the Chiefs. Honestly, can go undefeated. I mean, the last 3 years, 2 years, haven't seen a team beat the Chiefs fully healthy. The Patriots did one time, regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Fully healthy. I haven't seen anyone beat them fully healthy. And we're starting week one, and nothing has changed in that respect. So I'm taking the Chiefs. I wouldn't touch over, under, or a line here. But, yeah, this is – as much as I respect the Browns, Baker, Odell's coming back healthy. That running back tandem is probably the best in the league. If you're talking about multiple running backs. Offensive line is top three. Defensive line is probably going to end up being top three. Because Clowney is, even though he doesn't get sacks, Clowney is an elite run defender.
100%.
He doesn't get sacks, though, but they don't need him to. They got fucking Myles Garrett, who's going to lead the league in sacks. Either him or Aaron Donald again. They got secondary has been building for the last, like, 3 years. I think Denzel Ward's going to – might be in line for an all-pro type season. It's going to get his opportunities for sure. It's going to be probably matched up on Tyreek Hill or Mecole Hardman, but probably Tyreek Hill if he doesn't get moved to the slot. I don't think they're going to have Denzel Ward following too much. But
no.
But, yeah, it's one of those opportunities that it's just I like one but love the other.
Yeah. No, it's a great way to put it, and I think you touched on what's going to be after this game, because the outside players are going to play well regardless. But it's going to be if Clowney and Garrett can put pressure on Mahomes like Tampa did. No one looked at Tampa in the Super Bowl as a top three D-line. But they overpowered that Chiefs offensive line, and that's what threw off. The Chiefs couldn't be the Chiefs because Mahomes didn't have time to be Mahomes. And if the Browns can do that, and make Mahomes uncomfortable, it's going to be a lot better of a ballgame than a 5.5 spread, which is basically saying the Chiefs are going to kick the shit out of them. Like you said, I'm not touching a line. I'm not touching an over-under. I think it's going to be the most exciting game to watch on Sunday. And I'm going to take the Chiefs to win. But Browns put up a damn good fight on defense, 100%.
Yeah, that's the only I think the Chiefs win either way, but that over-under kind of scares me because of the Browns' defense. You know, 54.5, that's a shootout.
And yeah.
Sure. I mean, as much as I love the Chiefs and their offense, I mean, I feel like it's one of those where the Browns have enough to at least slow them down.
Yeah.
Dolphins Patriots, the debut of Mac Jones, got the Alabama quarterbacks going head to head. Mac Jones to Tua Tagovailoa. I'm taking the. This is a difficult one, man. Really difficult, but I'm gonna take the Dolphins. I've been a big fan of the Dolphins building the last couple of years. I think they open up week one. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. He's getting all his players back, but Mac Jones, I think, is ultimately going to struggle versus this improved Dolphins defense. They kind of know the book on him. He's got a nice, you know, touch on his deep ball, but the distance, you know, of his deep ball, there's a limit to it. I haven't really seen him anything above 30 yards. I don't think they're worried about. So, I feel like you're going to see a lot of cover three, keeping everything in front of him. It's a lot of things. You know, they got two hallmark corners out there. I think it's going to put pressure on that receiving group. The receiving group's not that good. Damian Harris is going to be their only chance, I think, to really move the ball consistently, in my opinion.
So, yeah. I mean, tough game. Tough game to bet on. Tough game to pick a winner. I think – I mean, you and I have only disagreed on one game so far, and it was – Cardinals Titans, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with you. I know it's Patriots minus three. It's because of home field. You get your 3 points, whatever. That means it was the pick'ems. I think pick'ems is the right call there, and I think Dolphins win. Mac Jones going up, not having a couple weeks to digest NFL games behind Cam, it's gonna hurt. And I don't care what anyone says. Everyone's like, well, let's get him in early. Going up against Miami's corners week one, that's not fun either.
Yeah.
I think Mac Jones is getting too much hype right now for a poster child of what the Patriots quarterback is supposed to look like, right? And supposed to his type of game. I think the Dolphins win with ease. I think it's an easy plus three pick for the Dolphins. I think that Gaskin is going to do enough to open up Tua to throw the ball downfield. That Patriots defense is good. I know they brought in that linebacker as well. That Patriots defense is going to be a top five defense this year. The Patriots are going to get their wins this year just because of their defense. But I think Tua, who is in dire need of a hot start this year, I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. I think the over-under at 43.5 is accurate. That's a 23-20 game. I could see maybe even a 20 Dolphins 20, Patriots 17 type of game. But yeah, I'm taking the Dolphins, and it's not going to be a fun game to watch, but it'll tell a lot of what both teams are going to do for the rest of the year.
Turn it up. We got next game, Packers at Saints. Who do you like in this game, man?
Tough one. I've turned into a big Jameis guy recently. I think Jameis is going to eat. He's going to have another one of those 30 for 30 type of years, right? 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. And it sucks that they have to go up against Green Bay with an Aaron Rodgers who is like the evil villain of the league, who's just been in the shadows and then comes out and throws for 360 and four touchdowns for no reason on a shit Saints defense. You know what I mean? Green Bay is away, and they're four. So that means they were seven. Yeah. So I think that says enough. I think Green Bay wins. I think they are going to win pretty convincingly. Jameis is going to put up some real nice fantasy numbers for y'all, but he's not going to win the game. So I have the overall difference of the Packers offense and Aaron Rodgers against that shit defense that didn't get any better. You know how I know the Saints defense is shit? Is that Saints fans, and yes, I'm talking about you, Irv, are – excited of the signing of Bradley Roby. Are you kidding me? That was your savior the day before the game? Relax. You know, Packers, yeah, I think big 35-21 game.
And taking the Packers as well, I think we're going to see a lot of Kamara. We're going to see a lot of Jones. We're going to see a little bit of A.J. Dillon, too. I think we're going to see a nice, a healthy run game. I think there's a lot of run game games that are going to be featured this week. Aaron Rodgers is, I think, going to throw three or four touchdowns just because he's Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think he's going to – it might be one of those games where, you know, he goes like 18 of 22, 215 yards. Something like that. I think we're going to get a lot of, you know, short game because we're going to try to keep the ball out of Alvin Kamara's hands. You know what I'm saying? Because Alvin Kamara is a game breaker. Now, as long as they limit, you know, the amount of time that, you know, they're on the field, then you're going to start forcing Jameis to throw more. And then that's when you start getting into that, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jameis making it. So I think that's what we're going to see. Packers win. Another game that I hate with, like, to the depths of my fucking soul, Broncos. My God, I hate this game so much. I'm taking Broncos, taking Teddy Bridgewater. He's in another situation where he's got fucking talent around him, all around. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, fuck with him. KJ Hamler, I fuck with him. Melvin Gordon, they got Javonte Williams out of North Carolina, rookie. It's all there. He's in another situation where he literally is tailored to where he doesn't have to throw the ball past 8 yards if he doesn't want to. All those guys are short yard gods. Cortland Sutton's a jump ball god down the field. That's literally all you need with Teddy Bridgewater. I don't see any hope for the Giants in their defense. Well, let me take that back. I do see some hope. Blake Martinez is pretty decent. And James Bradbury had a career year, but I don't know how he follows that up. And Jabril Peppers is okay. He still hasn't lived up to his draft hype or whatever, but he is what he is now. He's okay. But I don't believe in Daniel Jones. I don't believe in any of their receivers. I know they signed Kenny Galladay. I do not believe in him. I think he was a Stafford product. I don't believe in Shepard. I do believe in Saquon Barkley until they burn the tires out on him. But, yeah, I'm taking the Broncos to win handily, at least by 10 points.
My bad. I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Let me know where you want me to start off at.
Oh, no, you good. You just with the Broncos and Giants?
Yeah, yeah. So, you were just touching on their defense. Yeah. Giants are a top five defense. And top maybe six or seven. I know they didn't get a lot of hype because last year, they weren't great. That defense is pretty solid. You know, you mentioned Blake Martinez. They got Dexter Lawrence on the line now. You got Leonard Williams, a veteran there at this point. And James Bradbury, like you said, had a career year. They got Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Jabril Peppers. That defense is going to cause problems for teams that are not too good on offense, like aren't overpowering, and Denver's one of them. I have the Giants winning this game, so I think that's our second that we've disagreed on. But I have the Giants winning this game, and I would not be surprised if the Giants win by a little bit. The defense is going to do enough to let Danny Jones relax, which he needs to do, and just get – that ball in his playmaker's hands. Like, I mean, Sterling Shepard, I think, is going to have a little bit better of a year this year. I don't even know if Evan Ingram's playing, but he's probably one of the worst Pro Bowlers I've seen in the last few years. But, you know, he has all the tools to be a top five tight end. So I think Giants win. I think the Broncos are just going to be not great this year, which sucks because I do like Teddy Bridgewater. I do, but not enough around him, not in a good enough defense. I think the Giants take it.
I mean, I like their defense. Their defense has, I mean, they signed Kyle Fuller. You know, they still got, I mean, Ronald Darby's whatever.
Darby?
Ronald Darby, he's whatever. They got fucking Pat Surtain in the draft. You know, Justin Simmons is a top three safety. Kareem Jackson's all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got the secondary, I think, that'll force them. And Bradley Chubb, obviously. Is Von Miller playing yet?
I don't know. I don't know if he.
Bradley Chubb is legit. Shelby Harris on the D-line is legit. Shamar Stevens, all right. Like, I don't know. I feel like they got enough at each level to where they can – their linebackers are definitely – their middle linebacker group is definitely their, you know, weakest point. But I feel like they're good enough to – where they'll be able to handle – I don't believe in the Giants receivers at all.
Yeah, it's going to be a dumpster fire of a game. It's not going to be a good one, but I think the Giants win, but we'll see.
All right, and then we got Sunday night game, Bears at the Rams. Andy Dalton is playing. We don't know for how long, but he is starting. I feel like hopefully to salvage everyone's viewing purposes, there is a quarterback change by halftime because the Rams are going to fucking – run Andy Dalton out of the state of Illinois. I don't think that this game can be relatively close. The Rams, I think, win by probably 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, not much to say about this one. Rams are gonna put up some points. And again, I think it's one of those situations where it's one step closer to seeing that rookie, right? I think Justin Fields comes in by week 4 and changes a little bit for the Bears season, not enough to, you know, make a run or playoffs or anything by any means. But it's gonna be cool to see Stafford and the Rams really in this new offense. And I'll put my prediction: DeSean Jackson's gonna catch an 75-yard touchdown.
Matt Stafford debut. That's exactly the kind of guy that he loves. Someone just to throw it out in front of.
Yeah.
Still got the burners a little bit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Then good old Monday night game, last game of the week, Ravens at the Raiders. I'm taking the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's coming out with a huge Hallmark Week 1 game. Maybe not the Dolphins game he had in 2019 where he went, you know, 158.3, but I think he's going to be pretty damn close.
Yeah, tough spread, you know, because 4.5's tough. I think Baltimore clearly wins the game. I don't know if I'm taking 4.5. But God, man, how long does Derek Carr have to play mediocre to not just have a job, but have a job where he's not even worrying about them drafting anyone or bringing anyone in? I don't get it. I really don't. He doesn't do anything special. You know, he hasn't even been close to a playoff run, and he's comfortable. He's not even in the hot seat yet, and I'll never understand it. I think the Raiders are going to be mediocre again this year, and the Ravens win pretty convincingly.
I mean, yeah, he plays for John Gruden and Mike Mayock. So,
touche.
Will inevitably be on the hot seat before him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a wrap on this week. Appreciate you coming through, man. Got any other words?
Man, last year around this time, thanks to Marcus, you know, we started that podcast, Pick Up Picks. We're going to be getting that going again, which it's going to be kind of like this, but more just on the lines and where our money's going. So we'll be recording that and dropping that as well tomorrow. So if you're into more some betting, we'll get that going. But Marcus, thank you as always, man, for having me on. And we'll see who wins this pool this week.
My boy, Chris Denny. Y'all go check out that Pick Up Picks. And just like we told y'all last time, y'all be on the lookout for other host Ant. He has his own podcast coming out, the Ant Farm Podcast, everything but sports. You know what I'm saying? We got politics, life, comedy, you know, this, that, and the third, entertainment. You know what I'm saying? So go and check out his when that drops. You know, that's still cooking. It's on the way, though. But yeah.
Yes, sir.
Pick Up Podcast. We out.
Peace.